We are having a good Monday around here. I cannot think of a better way to spend 2 hours talking about Jesus. Father Anthony Dorsa out taking all the congratulations of his fans there in the studio now. Great job talking about evangelization. Now we're going to get into it. We're going to really talk about the person Jesus. What does that mean? Truly a man, truly God. What is that all about? If you've got questions in that regard, if you'd like to talk about Jesus, 888-318-7884. You don't have to be Catholic. You don't even have to be a Christian. If you want to know about Jesus, this is the hour for you. I can't think of anything I'd rather be talking about. 888-318-7884. And we got a great guest for you to do just that. Our guest this hour is Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio. He's known to many people on EWTN and other places as Dr. Italy. Dr. D'Ambrosio received his PhD in theology under the direction of the great, the wonderful Cardinal Avery Dulles. May God rest his soul. He's the author of a whole bunch of books. He's the founder of the Crossroads Initiative, a project for renewal and evangelization. Among his books, Exploring the Catholic Church, When the Church Was Young, Voices of the Early Fathers, and 40 Days, 40 Ways, A New Look at Lent, which is coming right up. You might take a look and get that book for Lent. Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio, thank you so much for being with us.
It is such a pleasure to be with you, Si. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, I'm fired up about your new video series that's coming out. I just watched the trailer for it. It's you and Dr. Jeff Cavins and Dr. Edward Sree all sitting around a table talking about Jesus. Holy smokes! I love just sitting and listening to that conversation. And then you have unbelievable video of the Holy Land while you're having the conversation.
Yeah, we start in the United States sitting around eating some Middle Eastern food, and we're talking, the three of us have been teachers for a long time, and Dr. Sree and myself have taught at the university and graduate level. Jeff has been an incredible popular Bible teacher, but first and foremost, we're disciples. We're in this because we love him, and he changed our lives, and he changes our lives every day, so we wanted to do something that would help everybody else to connect with him in a new way. I think, honestly, Si, oftentimes Catholics and other Christians as well, we talk about a million different issues and controversial topics.
Yes.
And sometimes we just take Jesus for granted, and you can't. He's the center of everything. And I would say that as a Catholic, it's not like Catholics are about everything other than Jesus, and we leave that to our Protestant brethren. No, Jesus is the center of everything. Everything in the Catholic world, all the great traditions, the sacraments, Mary, the saints, all that stuff, it finds its meaning and center in the person of Jesus. So we got to refocus on him. And that's been the constant message, Si, of all the popes since about 1960. Certainly, you see John Paul II constantly saying, open wide the doors to Christ. That was his message. He wasn't asking people to open the doors to the church,
right.
It was Christ. And so the church is all about Christ, not about itself. So anyway, I'm excited to do this. And actually, we start talking in the United States, and then the rest of every episode is Jeff and I on a pilgrimage ourselves through the Holy Land. So we're actually talking about Jesus and teaching about him in the Holy Land. Unfortunately, Ted couldn't come with us. Yeah.
888-318-7884, the number. Ted Sree still has young kids, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, he has a bunch of them.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Say, it's not easy to get him booked to go somewhere, I wouldn't think, for that long.
I know that. Exactly.
888-31-TRUTH, the number. We're talking about Jesus, who is truly a man and is truly God. Why don't we start there with the identity of Jesus? Because that's why he's the center. It's because of who he is, even more than what he taught. The who he is the important thing.
Absolutely. And that people who met him along the shore of the Sea of Galilee didn't know the birth story necessarily. That we know from the beginning of Luke's gospel and Matthew's gospel. But when they met him, they knew somehow they had encountered God. And, you couldn't really be indifferent to him. You either were mesmerized by him or you were offended deeply by him.
Yeah.
Because fundamentally, what he had to say was life-changing. And that's threatening a lot of times for us. It's good news. But on the other hand, if you don't want to change, and change means pain, for many people, they thought it was bad news, but they knew that they had encountered God, and he proclaimed the kingdom of God, God coming now and making changes. And really, as you hung around with him, you realized that he was the place where heaven and earth met, no longer the temple in Jerusalem. That was a place where Jews thought heaven and earth really intersected. No, it now is mobile. It's walking around Galilee, healing and teaching, and it's a person, not just a place. It's Jesus. He's the new temple. And everything that he had to say showed that he was truly and deeply human. And a lot of people look at that, and when they see that, they say, well, that proves he's not God. But that doesn't at all. Everything he said implied, even if it didn't clearly come out, he didn't come out and say, okay, everybody, listen, I am God, second person of the Blessed Trinity. He didn't do it that way.
No.
But I think one of the things that people need to understand is, in the Semitic world, the world of the ancient Middle East and the Middle East today, you generally communicate, especially about big things, in a more indirect way. You kind of use that old Socratic method where you ask questions, and all of a sudden the listener, the person who you're talking with, when they go to answer the question, the answer is obvious. The question is kind of a rhetorical one. Yeah. And that's what happens all throughout the Gospels, especially in the, you know, in Mark, in Matthew, and in Luke. In John's Gospel, it's much clearer. Jesus doesn't come out again and say, I am God, but he says things only God should say and can say.
It seems that today many people are more comfortable. I was reading today, just coincidentally, actually, some things by Deepak Chopra, the kind of spiritual teacher, new age kind of spiritual teacher guy. And he talks about Jesus as, well, he's God in the sense of he's an enlightened one, or he became mm-hmm. enlightened, or that kind of thing. And I think people find that more comfortable than this really hard, no, this is the God of Israel.
Absolutely. It's the uniqueness thing that's the problem, you know?
Yeah.
Many people in the East can say that Jesus achieved God consciousness. So he's an enlightened one, just like Buddha or just like Muhammad. Now, that sounds a lot more open-minded, and it sounds a lot less threatening to people. What Jesus said is, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Now, it sounds rather, if he's not the unique incarnation of God, it's incredibly arrogant. And you know, it could be delusional. I mean, C.S. Lewis says, he's either liar or a lunatic, or he's the Lord. You really can't come out with this kind of great moral teacher kind of a thing. You
right.
know, if you read the four Gospels, and it's not just one Gospel, it's all four. And that's part of the value of having four Gospels that are basically, it's like four cameras shot from different angles. It's four different persons
yeah.
and maybe the communities they represent sharing their recollections and highlighting what they think is important. But all four of them agree on this, that he is true God and he is true man, that he is the savior of the world, that he is a unique one. And, you know, we as Catholics can admit that there is truth in the teaching of many other people. And in fact, you know, we've always honored the truth that's present, for example, in Aristotle and Plato, the pagan Greek philosophers. But, you know, we also honor the truth that's present in Islam or in Buddhism, and there is truth there. But the fullness of truth is only to be found in him, and he's the only one who actually did what was necessary to reconcile us to God and enable us to become new people. And that's really what the gospel's about.
Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio, our guest, 888-318-7884 is the number. Devoting ourselves this hour entirely to the one thing needed, that is the person of Jesus Christ. Mike in Washington, D.C., listening on Ave Maria Radio. You are up first. Your question for Dr. D'Ambrosio.
Hi, good evening.
Hey there, Mike.
One question I've had is that, you know, in general, Jesus, when he was crucified, he did not use his divinity in any way to rescue himself from the cross. And, but I also hear that in general, that the Roman scourging was so severe in general that most humans would die even before getting to the fact, to the point where they would be crucified. So I was just kind of thinking, would it be actually possible that, Jesus could have used his divinity to allow him to fully suffer and suffer more beyond what a normal human would have, just to kind of show his love for us in general?
Sure. That's a possible way to look at the data, you know. certainly his divinity is what empowered even his human love, which is so extraordinary. On the cross, his heart is open. And this is the image of the Sacred Heart, a perfect, the fullness of love beating in a human heart, God's divine love beating in a human heart that's so extraordinary. It's that power of love, which is divine, that led him to endure such for us. So, I mean, that's certainly true. Whether or not he suffered longer because of intervention of his divinity, that's possible. It would certainly be like him. Because he suffered to the end, you know? He loved his own and he loved them to the end. That's a famous line from John's Gospel. And no greater love can anyone have for his friends than to lay his life down for them. That's really the theme of what his love is about, and that's the greatest proof of his divinity. And that's how he makes us divine, by participation. He gives us the power to love like he loved. That's why we celebrate the saints and the martyrs.
Mike, thank you. We have to head to a break. Jesus, True God and True Man is our topic. Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio, Dr. Italy, to his close friends, is here as our, and to many others, is our guest this hour. 888-318-7884 is the number. Right back.
Your questions, Catholic answers, live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious mystic monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All mystic monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase mystic monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
The Church has 2,000 years of wisdom to share on what it takes to live life gracefully.
We're so overwhelmed by how much our faith has transformed our marriage and family especially. We want everyone to experience the incredible gift that the Catholic vision of life and love really is.
More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. Tomorrow morning, 10 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Jesus, True God and True Man, our topic this hour. I'm so happy that it is our topic. We often get into the, you know, the weeds, the details. Maybe we'll do a show on the liturgy, or we'll do a show on this or that doctrine of the Church. But it's always, always good and always refreshing to go back and, hey, let's just talk about Jesus. We've got a great man here to talk about it with us, Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio. He's got a brand new 10-part series from Ascension Press, which is actually not even out yet, but you can order it and it'll be to you shortly. Jesus, the Way, the Truth, and the Life. It comes with a workbook, but there's also a full book that you can get and give and share with others. Jesus, the Way, the Truth and the Life. If you head over to Ascension Press, you can find all of that. Lots of folks want to talk about this topic, but we can still get you in if you want to dial now. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. Jesus, True God and True Man. We go now to Anne in Niagara Falls, listening on 101.7 FM EWTN Radio. Anne, your question for Dr. D'Ambrosio.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I am a cradle Catholic, went to Catholic school all my life, even a Catholic university, and I know that God has transformed my life in so many ways. I guess my question is, and I even feel embarrassed asking about this, is in the Eucharist, in my head, I know that it is Jesus Christ that we're receiving. But I guess I want to feel like an emotion when I receive it. Like, I don't feel anything. And I feel kind of guilty about it. Like, why am I not feeling anything when I receive Jesus Christ or when I go to the Adoration Chapel? So, again, I am praying to God to deepen it, to deepen my faith. I know it's Him, but I just don't feel it, but I know that He has done so many wonders in my life.
All right, faith in Jesus, even faith in the Eucharist, but no experience of Jesus in the Eucharist.
Yeah. So, Cy, Anne, we're going to talk about this because it's really important. The gift of God's grace and the gift of intimacy with Jesus is something that oftentimes does impact our emotions, but a lot of times doesn't. And that's just the way it is, honestly, in marriage and in family, in any deep love relationship. There are moments when you really feel, and there are moments that you don't, but something is happening. Love is happening. Love is being expressed. Intimacy is happening. And actually, we're being changed. Every time we receive him in faith, there's change going on, even if we can't perceive it. I would just say in human life, we grow every day. Our body's changing. We don't perceive it many times unless we go to the hairdresser and have a sudden makeover. You know, there's so many small changes. I'm watching babies grow right now, grandchildren. This change every day, but it's almost imperceptible. But a little bit, you know, like you look a month later and then you see incredible change. So the Lord is changing you and he's touching you. I will just say this. Some of the greatest saints had tremendous periods of dryness, not just not feeling anything, but actually feeling a bit of desolation. Teresa of Lisieux went through that. Mother Teresa went through that. Lots of people. St. John of the Cross talked about the dark night of the soul where he didn't feel anything for a long time and where that's actually part of the journey in the spiritual life so that we're loving the Lord. We're not loving the feelings, the good feelings that we might get from him. So anyway, I think it's important to be detached and from consolations and from experience, continue to be open, continue to try to prepare yourself more before every Eucharist, not so much to feel something, but just to be more attentive, to be more open, to give yourself. I would say it's awesome thing to quiet down 5 minutes, 10 minutes before Mass and just pray an act of faith that you know that he's really present in the Eucharist and that you want to open yourself completely and give yourself completely. And you may do that already, but the more preparation we can put in, the more fruit can be born. And that's the key, is fruit. We're looking for fruit. We're not looking necessarily for feeling.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
And again, thank you.
All right. God bless you, Anne. Thank you very much. It's a sister who sounds fully, she's not having a crisis of faith. She just wants to have the experience.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
That's actually a good thing.
Yeah. I talked to a man who, a daily communicant for years and years and years, who said, I don't often feel the presence of Christ in the Eucharist, but if I don't go, I feel the lack.
That's a beautiful way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think that you're right. In a sense, being nourished in a way that is imperceptible. But when you stop that,
yeah,
then you
and you're being filled. Yeah, nourished and filled, and I think there's peace that comes with communion that you really miss when you're not intimate with the Lord in that way.
We're talking about Jesus with Dr. Italy, Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio. Your calls are welcome at 888-318-7884. Up next, Patrick in New York City, watching on Facebook Live. Delighted to have you with us, Patrick. Oh, hey, this is our good friend Patrick, huh? This is Patrick that comes to the conferences.
Yeah, hello, Cy.
Hi.
I'm calling today to thank Dr. D'Ambrosio and the staff at Ascension Press for putting together such a great Bible series. I've ordered it, and I've worked out with my pastor that I'm leading the study starting in 2 weeks, so I hope it arrives on time. And I've got people registered for it. And I'm calling to encourage everyone that I'm nothing special, but if you get the materials, you study the materials, work with your pastor, get it publicized, you can do some real heavy-hitting evangelization in your own parish, and it's a win-win for everybody, for you, for your pastor, and for the people who are attending the Bible study. 10 weeks is just about the right length. You get into the depth, and you come out, and you say, hey, when can I do the next Bible study?
That's a pretty good endorsement. Patrick runs the RCIA in his parish, and he is a friend of ours here. But that's a pretty good endorsement there, Dr. D'Ambrosio.
Patrick, I'm so grateful. I'm really grateful. And I just tell you that I do believe it's an evangelistic resource. You learn a lot of apologetics. You learn a lot about Scripture. I think you get a lot of insight intellectually. But you really, we want you to encounter the Lord. And I think that happens in the course of this study, that you all come to that place of encountering him and in a more deep way, in a life-changing way. So yeah, I encourage everybody out there to get as much of this study going as you can, the whole study. And if you can't get a full study going, you can actually do it just with a spouse or just with a friend, or you can read the book on your own. I think it really will make a difference for you.
Patrick, thank you for that call. Is there any Catholic Answers book you don't have we can send you?
No, I got them all. Thank you, sir.
That's awesome. He doesn't even want the free books. I got them all. All right, Patrick. Thank you very much.
God bless you, Patrick.
Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio is our guest. We're talking about Jesus. The number is 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. It's interesting to me what you said to Patrick, though, about encounter, because it is actually possible to know the Bible very, very well and not know Jesus.
That's right. And that's actually part of the theme of this study. Jeff talks about it. I talk about it. We share our own personal story of intellectual faith and cultural faith that all of a sudden turned into something much more. And that's when the journey really began for us. But honestly, it's not, you're never there. You know, discipleship is what this study is about. And discipleship is a process where Jesus is moving. And if you stay still, all of a sudden, you realize he's far away. He's up the road, a long piece. So, you know, you got to keep moving with him. And there's always surprises. There's an adventure involved in all this. There's danger involved in it. There's challenge. There's risk. But there's also incredible glory. So that's really what discipleship's all about. And that's what the study's all about.
Let's go to Robert in Bryan, Texas. Robert, your question for Dr. D'Ambrosio. Robert?
Yes.
Oh, hi. You're on the air. You have a question for Dr. D'Ambrosio?
Oh, well, it's not a question. It's a disagreement. I think Father D'Ambrosio was saying that Jesus didn't come out and say that he's God. And I disagree with that. He, for example, he says, the Father and I are one. Also, when they are taking him up on the hill to throw him off, the Jews in the synagogue understood that Jesus was saying that I am, and they understood that, you know, is the Jesus tells Moses, I am who I am. And so they understood that Jesus was making himself to be God, and that's why they were going to throw him off the hill.
Okay, Robert, I'm not sure that that's a disagreement with what Dr. D'Ambrosio said, but I'll let Dr. D'Ambrosio address it.
You are right, Cy, and Robert, we're on the same page. Jesus said, he said that I am. Before Abraham was, I am. Now, the implications of that are clear if you know the Bible. Lots of us read it and don't really know the Old Testament and don't catch that. As a matter of fact, some of his disciples may not have caught it, but the Pharisees, they caught it. They totally understood what he said. That's exactly what I mean by very strong, clear, but implicit way of Jesus leading them to this place of recognizing and coming to up against the fact that here is God, here is a divine person who is speaking.
The example you gave was, he doesn't say, I'm God, the second person of the Trinity.
Exactly. Right. He doesn't say it that way, but he says it. And that's important, you know, for us to kind of understand. And so in the study, actually, Cy and Robert, we actually show that. We kind of go through those kinds of things. We have a whole episode just on his divinity and how that comes out very clearly, but still implicitly, leading the reader of the gospel, you know, who's reading this when it was written, and before that, the people who were listening to Jesus, leading them to this conclusion that really is universally understood in the early church by, I would say, it's pretty clear, the middle of the first or the second part of the first century, for sure, it's clearly understood and expressed all throughout the New Testament. Not just the Gospels.
Does that satisfy you, Robert? You think your point is very, very well taken. I just wanted to be clear that Dr. D'Ambrosio wasn't denying the divinity of Jesus, rather saying he doesn't use those specific words. I'm God, the second person of the Trinity.
Well,
what is Robert there? Okay. Now, see,
I think we may have lost him. Sorry, Robert.
Yeah, but then it looks like I hung up on him. See, that's the thing. When someone calls it a disagreement and then they're not there, all of a sudden, looks like Cy might have pushed a button, but really I didn't.
We disagree. And, you know, and the point is that Jesus can teach something and do so without being as explicit as many of us want, maybe would like him to be,
yeah,
or think he should have been, or are ourselves. But it's very clear, a clear teaching, even if it's not. I am God, second person of Blessed Trinity.
We're talking about Jesus this hour. If you want to talk about Jesus, if you got a complaint, if you got a question, if you got a desire to know or to correct, you're welcome here. 888-318-7884. He's got a brand new series, Jesus, the Way, the Truth, and the Life, 10-part series from Ascension Press. So your opportunity to ask him questions right now, 888-318-7884.
You're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Tim Staples, Trent Horn, Cy Kellett, Chris Check, Carlo Broussard. Our On Fire lineup of speakers will inform and inspire your audience to grow in their Catholic faith. For more information on booking a Catholic Answers speaker for your event, visit CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com today.
Every Catholic has heard the challenge. How can you believe that? Don't you know the Bible says? It's a challenge we have to meet. If we can't reconcile apparent contradictions between Scripture and Catholic teaching, how can our faith survive? And if we can't answer our Protestant brothers and sisters, how will they ever come to embrace the fullness of the faith? In Meeting the Protestant Challenge, apologist Carlo Broussard gives you the knowledge and tools you need to answer 50 of the most common Bible-based objections to Catholicism. Be prepared to give an answer. Order your copy of Meeting the Protestant Challenge today by calling 844-239-4952, visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Hi, this is Cy. The latest episode of our podcast, Catholic Answers Focus, is available right now. This week, Trent Horn joins us and offers a pro-life boot camp. You can hear that and get past episodes at CatholicAnswersFocus.com or subscribe for free wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're a Catholic who sometimes gets intimidated by the Bible, Jimmy Akin's The Bible is a Catholic Book will help you better understand and take pride in this gift that God gave the world through the Church. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Catholics are the original Bible Christians. Order your copy of The Bible is a Catholic Book today by calling 844-239-4952, by visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
I'm Gloria Purvis.
And I'm Deacon Harold. The Morning Glory team asks, does modesty matter in the home?
Tomorrow morning, 7 Eastern. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Talking about Jesus makes me so happy. I'm having a really good Monday talking about Jesus. And we have a wonderful chaplain here. And tomorrow after Mass, he will expose the Blessed Sacrament. And we can all visit with Jesus for 4 hours on a Tuesday morning. So we'll keep that rolling. Jesus is so good. God is so good in giving us his son, Jesus. And it's wonderful to have the opportunity to talk about him every now and then, especially with a man who has devoted himself to sharing the love of Jesus with others. The new 10-part series from Ascension Press is Jesus, the Way, the Truth, and the Life. Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio, our guest, he also takes people to the Holy Land, but he doesn't overdo it. You got a few spots left for the spring trip or no?
We do have a few spots left, Cy, and this is going to be a smallish trip. I do most of the commentary myself. I have an amazing Palestinian Catholic guide who his family's been in the land for centuries. And so his perspective, Semitic biblical perspective, really is beautiful. So the two of us tag team and we have Mass in some of the greatest places in the world. We have a lot of special touches. So I really love people who would really like some significant learning to go on and significant prayer. This is a pilgrimage for you. So come to dritaly.com. That's dritaly.com. We have a pilgrimage tab at the top of every page. You click on that and you'll find your way to the Holy Land information about where we're going, how much it costs, and you can register right there online.
And while you're there, find out about the new 10-part series from Ascension Press. I can tell you it looks beautiful. I mean, to get Dr. D'Ambrosio and Jeff Cavins and Dr. Edward Sree together to talk about Jesus right there is a gift. But this is not one of those just, the three of us got together in a room. No, it is beautiful, and you'll get to experience the Holy Land with Dr. D'Ambrosio. So I hope you will check it out. And if you want to talk to Dr. D'Ambrosio this hour about Jesus, true God, and true man, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. Up next, Mary in Phoenix, Arizona, listening to EWTN Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Mary, your question for Dr. D'Ambrosio.
Hi. So it's kind of a follow-up with the lady who said that she didn't feel Jesus.
Okay.
Well, my question comes when receiving the Eucharist. I went to Mass on Saturday night without having gone to confession in like a while, and I received the Eucharist. And I was wondering if I was crying when I received the Eucharist because I felt guilty or because I felt Jesus that much.
Ah, okay. So when you say hadn't been to confession in a while, are we talking about years or months or...
I would say probably a year, but I can't remember.
All right. So how do you respond to that?
Well, I would say this. You're obliged to go to confession normally in any normal circumstance. You're obliged to go if you have serious sin on your conscience. So that's the important thing. First of all, I will just say this. Just don't do the minimum. I mean, confession is a beautiful sacrament that is an encounter with Jesus, and it's a strengthening so that we can change, not just be forgiven, but actually be healed. Because sin that we commit wounds others, but it wounds us. So we need the sacrament of healing and strengthening, and that's part of what it goes on, the sacrament of penance. So I would encourage everybody to go as frequently as you can. The church doesn't give us any mandate of a guidance, like how often is ideal. I mean, I'll just say, you know, once a month is a great, it's a great discipline. I try to go once a month or once every 2 or 3 weeks myself personally. So it helps me a lot. But the law is you have to go once a year if you have some serious sin on your conscience. So if you're not sure, you know, it's best to go. But you didn't do anything wrong going to communion if you did not have mortal sin or think you had mortal sin on your conscience. So I just want to absolve you from that. But I don't want to be a minimalist and say, don't worry about going. No, go more frequently. Don't let a year lapse again, because it'll bring you closer to him. To go, even if you only have venial sins on your conscience. Little venial sins left untended, they're like little threads. And what is a big, heavy rope made out of? Lots of little threads that are wound together. All of a sudden, you know, you find you're really bound up. So don't let that happen. Deal with them. And deal with them as soon as they come to your conscience. Every night we should ask the Lord's forgiveness for sins committed during the day. But go to confession regularly to get the healing balm of the Holy Spirit, which is poured out in that sacrament.
Okay, Mary?
Okay, yeah. I had gone to confession literally the next day because I couldn't figure out why I was crying, but I didn't know what that meant during that sacrament, so I was trying to figure it out. Thank you for...
Well, the important thing is receive it as a gift. A lot of times when the Lord does give you the gift of tears, you don't know what's going on, and you don't have to know what's going on. All you know is the Lord is working in you, whether it be repentance, whether it be intimacy, you know, that happens. And so just receive it. And you can ask the Lord, Lord, is there a message you're giving me? If you don't hear anything, don't worry about it.
Mary, thank you very much for that call. We're talking about Jesus, true God and true man this hour. If you have a question about Jesus, I think all the calls I may have been from Christians today. If you're a non-Christian person and you have a question about who this person is we're talking about and why we are attached to him in the way we are, you're welcome to call as well. 888-318-7884. Let's go to Michael in Huntington, West Virginia. Hi, Michael.
How you doing there, Si? Listen, the question I have is, I hear a lot of people talking about, Jesus had actual siblings, Mary had other children and all that, and I wanted to get the take on that
Michael, this is a common kind of, this will come up between Catholics and Protestants sometimes because Catholics are, and Orthodox, and actually most of the Christian world recalls Mary as ever virgin. And so sometimes this is something that is contentious between us and some Protestant brothers and sisters. But what do you make of that? The question, I guess, is essentially, did Jesus have brothers and sisters?
And the answer is no. The Catholic Church teaches clearly, and the Orthodox Church as well, and Protestant reformers, early reformers who began the Protestant churches, everyone agreed that Jesus' brothers in the New Testament were not his brothers, but they were in the Eastern tradition. There's a document from the second century that says Joseph was an older man when he married Mary and had children from a previous marriage. So they could have been stepbrothers. St. Jerome rightly points out in Aramaic, not in Greek, but in Aramaic of Jesus, there isn't a distinct word for cousin. And so cousins are called brothers. And in fact, it's really important to understand that Jesus lived in an incredibly extended family environment of Nazareth. Probably everybody in Nazareth was related. And he was probably very close with a number of people who are mentioned in the New Testament, like James. John mentioned several of his brothers, quote unquote, and James is one of them. Interestingly enough, we see another mother noted for this James. So I think you can make a case based on the New Testament itself. It's very unlikely that James, the brother of the Lord, who became the leader of, he's a kinsman of Jesus, he became the leader of the church in Jerusalem after Peter left, that he is an actual blood brother of Jesus is very doubtful from the text, even though the word brothers in Greek is used. So we're talking about kinsmen, whether stepbrothers or cousins, first, second cousins, we're not sure. But they lived with Jesus in Nazareth. There were only probably about 50 homes in Nazareth. That's something we bring out in this series. Ancient Nazareth was a tiny hamlet, and people lived in extended family houses. We actually can reconstruct Peter and Andrew's house in Capernaum, which is amazing. But Peter and Andrew and their families lived together in one compound with Simon Peter's mother-in-law. That's the way people lived in ancient Israel, not like we live in individual houses separated from our cousins. So Jesus was traveling with them. He was close to them. You can understand how there would be really not a great distinction between blood brothers and cousins. So that's really historically and doctrinally the scoop on the brothers of the Lord in the New Testament.
Michael, is that helpful to you?
Oh, yeah, that helps a lot. So one other thing, if you don't mind.
I don't.
You said you would. Yeah, no. Can I get a free book?
That is so funny because I was going to give you a free book without you even asking. But first of all, I wanted to tell you something, Michael. At Catholic.com, there is a long article called The Brethren of the Lord that gives an extended kind of meditation on what Dr. D'Ambrosio just said. And not one point will differ from what he just said. So if you want to go back and reflect on that, just go to Catholic.com and type in the words Brethren of the Lord, and you'll find all of that. But I was thinking about giving you Why We're Catholic. Do you want a Trent Horn book?
Yes, that is exactly what I wanted to.
Really? Well, you have very low standards. All you wanted was a Trent Horn book, but okay. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm not supposed to make fun of Trent Horn anymore. Hang on the line, Michael. We're going to send you that book. And you can call anytime because I don't know anybody who pronounces my name the way you do. And it makes me really happy, Michael. So I hope we'll hear from you a lot. We'll take a quick break. You hold there, Michael. And Marie's going to get your information so we can send you Trent's book, Why We're Catholic. Right back with more on Jesus with Dr. Italy, Dr. D'Ambrosio, right after this.
Catholic Answers Live. The only thing missing from today's broadcast is you. Call now with your question.
Do you want to end abortion, halt the attack on traditional marriage, and ensure religious freedom for ourselves and for our grandchildren? To do this, we must convert the culture. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
EWTN, communicating the faith.
Just turned 31. Feel that I'm being called to the priesthood. And I've been attending daily Mass and just finding that falling more in love with Jesus every day and finding more opportunities to, you know, make sacrifices for him myself and just allow him to enter me more. You know, how do we fully surrender to God and to his will so that we can more clearly hear his calling?
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Man, this is a good Monday. If this is a preview of what the week's going to be, I am very happy about this week. The number here is 888-318-7884. We're talking about Jesus, true God and true man. Again, I want to put out the challenge or just the invitation to non-Christians. If you'd like to know about what it is we believe about Jesus, if something that maybe you've heard that we Christians believe about Jesus does not resonate with you as making much sense, I think our guest, Dr. D'Ambrosio, Dr. Italy, he says Dr. Italy he's because he wants to make it easy on people like me who can get tongue-tied about it. You're welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. We're kind of taking the topic of Jesus because we love Jesus, but also want to make you aware of the new 10-part series and workbook available called Jesus, the Way, the Truth, and the Life with Dr. D'Ambrosio, with Jeff Cavins, with Dr. Edward Sree. It's all available from Ascension Press, Jesus, the Way, the Truth, and the Life. And there's also a book, like just a regular book of the same title available at the same time from Ascension Press. I want to compliment you on your choice of topic. Everybody's got something, you know, a new book about something all the time. You picked the number one thing.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, Pope Benedict did an awesome job, Pope Emeritus Benedict, in that three-part, actually three volumes on Jesus. But, you know, I think sometimes there's a lot of folks who might stall a little bit and clutch taking a look at three volumes. So we try to include some of the great insights of Pope Benedict in this series and in the book, and also other greats like Fulton Sheen. So that, you know, we're trying to synthesize and make it accessible and easy, some of the greatest insights from recent scholarship and great spiritual writers on Jesus.
That Fulton Sheen was all right too, huh?
Was that?
That Fulton Sheen was all right.
He wasn't bad.
No,
he wasn't bad.
He was not bad at all. A question on Jesus for you from Facebook. I've been trying to get to some Facebook questions a little bit more.
Okay.
Did Jesus have the beatific vision during his agony on the cross?
The Catholic Church teaches that Jesus had the beatific vision from the moment of conception. What does that mean? Does it mean that he was in the bliss of heaven? I think the real important thing is that he had complete knowledge of the Father in a way that none of us do until we see him face to face, that he had that from the moment of conception, unlike Moses. You know, this is one of the interesting things that Pope Benedict makes, the points that he makes in his book on Jesus. He says that Moses, one of the things that people were looking for was a prophet like Moses. Moses said in Deuteronomy 18, a prophet like me will come, and to him you will listen. So people were looking for the prophet, you know, and the Pharisees and the chief priests, they asked John the Baptist, are you the prophet? Are you the Messiah? Okay, who's the prophet? The one like Moses. Well, Jesus was like Moses. One of the things about Moses, it's not just that he worked miracles and delivered people, but he saw God and spoke to him as friend speaks to friend. He had an intimacy with God. The thing is, though, God didn't let him see his face. When his glory passed on the top of Mount Horeb, Moses had to turn around. He saw God's back. And this is what's different. Jesus saw God completely. And that's, and Mary didn't see that. You know, Mary and Joseph had the darkness of faith like we have, where we don't see the future. We don't see God that clearly. We're looking through things as through smoked glass or through a mirror dimly, as St. Paul says. Jesus didn't have that. Now, did that make it easy for him on the cross? Absolutely not. Did it make it easy for him fasting 40 days and 40 nights in the desert and being tempted by the desert? Nope. It still was as hard as it is for us. What he had was that perfect knowledge of the Father, and that's why he could perfectly reveal the Father to us in a way that no other prophet, no other teacher could. That's his part of his uniqueness.
Thank you, George, on Facebook for that question. Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio, our guest this hour. We're talking about Jesus. We're going out to Paula in Houston, Texas. Paula, your question for Dr. D'Ambrosio.
Yes, my question is, I have some elementary school children, and I also teach church schools here in my town. We're, you know, Catholic and everything. How do you explain that the best way to explain the whole eternity, how God is three persons in one? I mean, the way that I do it is I try to point out to my kids that, you know, my head is part of me, Paula, and my hands are part of me, Paula, and so is my heart, like, you know, the sign of the cross, but all of them together are still me. Like, I'm not really sure, because I'm having a hard time trying to explain to my children how they're not separate.
Yeah, because it's a tough one. There's an analogy that you're using, and it, as with all analogies, it works a little bit, and it doesn't work a little bit.
That's right.
So go ahead, Dr. D'Ambrosio. How would you talk to a child about the Trinity?
All analogies limp, and that's part of Catholic teaching. So we still have to use them. It's just that none of them fit perfectly. And I don't see how you can possibly talk to kids without giving them some sort of analogy. But honestly, I think one of the greatest analogies is an analogy used by the fathers of the church, the family. Father and wife. Now, again, it limps, but they're distinct persons. Father and mother are distinct persons. First, they're husband and wife before they're father and mother. And they love one another, and they have an intimate, unbreakable unity. But they're two in one. And they come together, and they have a child that's really one flesh. It comes from father, it comes from mother, but it is distinct. And the love between them is really a precious and beautiful thing. Now, that's the closest analogy I would use, but it still limps because, you know, the Father and the Son didn't make the Spirit in a moment of time, you know?
Right.
The Father, Son, and Spirit are, so, I mean, you have to use an analogy, and it's like part of what we need to understand is you can't stop your religious education when you're a kid, or you can't expect to give everything to a child. Actually, you can't expect to give everything to an adult either, but there's a maturation process and a deepening of insight. And the Trinity is probably the hardest thing in the whole deposit of the faith to probe. I'm teaching graduate students a course on the theology of God and the Trinity right now, and it's tough to wrap your mind around it. I would just say this, the more, Paula, you grow in your understanding of the Trinity, the more God will give you creative insights to be able to share with the kids and new ideas of analogies you can share with them. But anyway, that's my two cents anyway.
Paul, I'm going to leave it there because I want to make sure I get everybody a chance here, if I can, with Dr. D'Ambrosio. We're talking about Jesus, true God and true man, with Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio. And we go now to Richard in Dallas, Texas, listening in on Guadalupe Radio. Man, Guadalupe Radio, y'all coming through for us lately. We've been getting lots of calls from Texas, and that's very nice. Your question for Dr. D'Ambrosio. Richard? Hang on. I'm going to go back to Richard in a second because I believe Richard is using the GPS in his car to figure out where he's going, and then he'll come back on the phone. I don't know what Richard is doing. I'm just guessing that that's what Richard is doing. I got no idea what Richard is doing. I mean, that question on the Trinity is very hard, but it's I think some people think it's hard, but it's not that important. You know, we can just focus on Jesus, but that is not really true. Like, you can't talk about Jesus, true God and true man, if you don't have at least some beginnings in the Trinity.
Absolutely. The Trinity shows us that the ground of all being is in interpersonal love. God himself is a communion of persons. It tells us, if we're made in the image and likeness of God, that we're called to live in intimate communion, whether it be in marriage and family or religious community. The church itself is meant to be an intimate communion of persons. I know not all of us experience it that way, but I'll just tell you that that's our destiny is to grow into that. That's what heaven will be about. It won't be an individual experience of God. It'll be an experience not only of the greatness and goodness of the three persons of the Trinity, but of every magnificent creation that is a human person and an angel. And so this communion of persons, it'll be something that we'll be celebrating and probing and enjoying for all eternity. So we better get used to the idea.
While we wait to see if we can get straightened out there with Richard in Texas, if I may, that one of the other things that's very, very hard, though, is to understand Jesus as one person, but fully a man and fully God. Like, how do you go about that? Like, the title of our program today is True God and True Man. That sounds like two people.
You go about that, Cy, on your knees rather than sitting in a chair. you take your shoes off and you recognize you're on holy ground when you start trying to understand the humanity and divinity of Jesus. So it's a mystery and it's a beautiful thing. But I would just say this, the church from the very beginning had to fight people who veered in one direction or another. There are people who could easily accept that he was God, but thought that human flesh was yucky, so he couldn't have really either taken human flesh or, he took human flesh. But he didn't have a human mind. He had a divine mind. It was just like, kind of the invasion of the body snatchers, this divine consciousness peering through human eyes. No, the church says, no. He is fully God. He is eternal with the Father. The Word that God that was with God from the beginning of all becomes incarnate in a real human being. This divine person fully assumes and takes to himself and unites to himself a human nature. So you have, this is the contrast. And the fathers of the church, their approach to this was they just allowed it to blow their minds. They delighted in the paradox and in the mystery. They bowed before it rather than trying to figure it out like a problem, like a math problem. You can never figure it out that way. You can just ponder and contemplate it. So that's the reality. He's human and has all the human emotions that would be fear in the garden, trepidation at the prospect of torture. And that's part of what the fathers of the church, they point to Gethsemane and say, this shows he has a human will. He doesn't want to die or desire to die in his human will. That shows he has a real human will. It's pathological to want to die, or to want to suffer. You might want to die to stop suffering, but to want to be tortured to death? No. So it proves he's really human, has a human soul, human will. But at the same time, so much else proves that he's fully divine. So anyway, we ponder the mystery. That's what we do.
Yeah, it's interesting because I never quite understood what Aquinas is always saying. We could say it's easier to say what he's not than what he is. But that's what you're saying is he's not lacking. He's not just one will, because that doesn't make sense with the scriptures. You may not be able to explain how he has a divine will and a human will, but you can't reduce it. You can't go once you start reducing it down to easy answers, you're in trouble.
The fathers say. Fathers of the Church and the Council of Chalcedon, which is a great council in 451, that gives us the quintessential definition of the humanity and divinity of Jesus. They all say that the union is indissoluble. Mary conceives in her womb, the union between God and man is indissoluble. Jesus didn't jettison being man at the ascension, and just go back to being God. No, he takes forever to the right hand of the Father our humanity. And, he's one with us in all things but sin. He's one with the Father. That's just amazing. And actually, that's why he's the mediator, and that's why he's a reconciler. We come together, God and man, first and foremost, in the womb of Mary. That's the beginning of redemption, which is completed on the cross, the resurrection, the sending of the Spirit. So it's a beautiful mystery to unpack. And that's part of the good news about heaven, Si. It's not going to be boring in heaven. We won't just get up there, see everything and say, okay, what's next? I figured it all out. We'll be pondering this in an awe and wow for all eternity. It's like an accelerating wow for all eternity is what heaven's going to be like as we ponder and probe the depths of God and of every redeemed person. It's going to be amazing.
Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio has been our guest. You may know him as Dr. Italy. You can find him at Dr. Italy. That's dritaly.com. And if you want to go with him to the Holy Land, still got a few spots open. Probably much more people. It's accessible to get the 10-part series from Ascension Press, Jesus, the Way, the Truth, and the Life. You can look at can people view it now at Ascension Press? You can see the trailer there?
Ascensionpress.com. You can not only see the trailer, you can see a full episode for free. You can preview the session that we shot in Bethlehem and Nazareth talking about the birth and the childhood of Jesus. So go to ascensionpress.com. You just have to, you know, make a free account if you don't have one already. And nothing to buy. You can watch that whole second episode, which is awesome.
Free is my favorite number. Dr. D'Ambrosio, thank you very, very much. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Tomorrow, 2 hours of open forum with Tim Staples. So we will get two answers in over the course of those. No, that's not really true. Lots and lots of questions, lots of answers. Tomorrow, we'll see you then, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.